Programs, views, claims, and or representations may not necessarily reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock today right here on AM 1220 The Word. Hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation. Our telephone lines are open at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you here this afternoon. And let's go ahead and get started in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, do thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air here today. And just thank you for giving me a little bit of my voice back. And we just pray that you would now bless and use this program for your glory, Lord. Father, I just ask that again that you would help us to be a blessing and encouragement and point people to Christ. If there's one searching, that we could point them to Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, welcome to the program here today, and if you listening last week, you could probably tell my voice is considerably better today, not 100% yet, but whatever this bug is that's going around, it sure got a hold of me, and my wife, who is an RN, said that she didn't think I had the flu, and I didn't think it would be good for me anyways to go sit in a waiting room full of a bunch of sick people and catch it. So she just gave me all kinds of good stuff to take, and feeling a lot better. And certainly thank the Lord for helping me get some rest last night. And one thing I can give you by way of experience, I've always heard this, and I shouldn't say I've always heard it. I've heard it before, and kind of almost thought it was like one of those old wives' tales or something. But if you're trying to sleep at night and you keep coughing, and if you've ever heard the thought of putting Vicks on your feet or something like that, and it helps you stop coughing so you can sleep, let me tell you, that works. I had the first good night's sleep that I had. I don't know why it took me so long to try it, but it really does help. And if you're out there with this, you know, the best thing you can do is get your rest and get plenty of fluids. And if you don't need to go into the doctor's office where you're around a bunch of sick people, that's probably a good thing. But again, I hope if you're suffering from some of this stuff going around, of course, the flu's going around too. I hope if you're out there and suffering with that you get better soon. So trust the Lord to help get you through that. But at any rate, let's get into our program here today. Of course, this is Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a question or call if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, 888-677-9673. And I just wanted to touch on something here today. Of course, coming up next week, Tuesday, I believe it is the 40th anniversary of the Roe versus Wade ruling. And, you know, this ruling really has done more to kill children and destroy lives than just about anything else. In fact, since that ruling back in 1973, it's estimated about 54.5 million babies have been aborted, meaning killed. And the controversy still continues on as to abortion and should it be considered a right? What should it be? Is the unborn child really a human being? And this, that, and the other. And I want to tie something in here. The situation right now in the world, or I'm sorry, in the United States, with the calls for gun control, it's the shooting in Connecticut last month, and some of the other things that people have been calling for increased measures to restrict our Second Amendment rights, and agitating for the banning of certain types of guns and weapons and things of that nature. And our president came out this past week, and he made this statement. He said, because while there's no law or set of laws that can prevent every senseless act of violence completely, no piece of legislation that will prevent every tragedy, every act of evil, if there's even one thing we can do to reduce this violence, if there's even one life that can be saved, then we've got an obligation to try. Now, I thought that was a very interesting statement that the president made. And he said, if there's even one life that can be saved, then we've got an obligation to try. Now, let's kind of put a few things in perspective. The event that has prompted this rhetoric and the latest call, in fact, the president was surrounded with children from Connecticut, and they're featuring some of the letters, you know, "Dear Mr. President, guns are bad. Can't you do something to get rid of guns?" You know, that type of stuff. And which my wife and I were talking about it this morning and said, you know, where's the letter, you know, that says, "Dear Mr. President, if guns are bad and only bad people have guns, why do you surround yourself with bad people?" You know, remember the president surrounded by Secret Service agents with guns? Well, at any rate, the shooter in Connecticut killed 20 children that day. But when you consider the figures on abortion, the number of abortions that take place in a given day is about 3,288. So let's put this in perspective. And remember the president's comment. If there's even one life that can be saved, then we've got an obligation to try. And 20 children were killed by a deranged madman that broke numerous laws in his murderous rampage. But yet, abortion providers killed 3,288 children the same day. Now, that's the average per day in the United States. And that works out to actually about one abortion every 26 seconds, which means numerous abortions have taken place. Numerous children have been killed just since we've been on the air here this afternoon. Now, let's put this a little more in perspective. Remember, 3,288 children killed by abortion each day. That works out to 1.2 million abortions a year. 1.2 million unborn children killed each year. And I was trying to find some information on child mortality. And I found these statistics. This is some of the best statistics for children between 0 and age 19. And these are from the year 2007. And figure shows that in 2007, we had unintentional injury from firearms resulting in a death, 138 in the year. Keep in mind that is contrasted with 1.2 million deaths by abortion in a year. There were 2,186 homicides with firearms of young people ages 0 to 19 in the year 2007, as opposed to 1.2 million babies killed in the year 2007. There were 683 suicides by firearms in the year 2007, as again compared to 1.2 million babies killed by abortion in 2007. I remember our president was very adamant. If there's even one life that can be saved, then we've got an obligation to try. In fact, in his speech outlining his plans to reduce the very small, extremely small incidence of deaths due to firearms of young people, he stated and he referenced the Declaration of Independence, and he said that the most fundamental set of rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, fundamental rights that were denied to college students at Virginia Tech and the high school students at Columbine and the elementary school students in Newtown and kids on street corners in Chicago on too frequent basis to tolerate, and all the families who never thought or never imagined they'd lose a loved one to a bullet. He said, these rights are at stake. We're responsible. Let's do the right thing. Let's do the right thing for them and this country that we love so much. But now, wait a minute. This is the same president. The same president, Barack Obama, that when he was in the United States Senate, he voted in six votes directly related to abortion. Two of the votes, he voted against the Child Interstate Abortion Notification Act. In a third vote, he voted against additional funding for the enforcement of the Child Interstate Notification Act. A fourth vote was one which involved the defining of a child for the purposes of the S-CHIP insurance planning. He voted against that. And then in the next two votes, he cast a no vote regarding things to do with abortion. But where I'm going here is we've got a president that has done more than any other president to promote abortion than ever. In fact, when he first took office in 2009, within a few days, he issued a memorandum overturning the Mexico City policy, which prohibited groups that that perform abortions with non-USAID funds from receiving USAID funds. His statement was the ban was too broad and undermined voluntary family planning. But again, this is the same president that said, if there's even one life that can be saved, then we've got an obligation to try. He also, on January 22nd, 2012, issued a press statement observing the 39th anniversary of the Roe versus Wade decision, asserting that abortion is a fundamental constitutional right. Now, the same president that can't seem to see the fundamental constitutional right of our Second Amendment, that it's not vague like the so-called constitutional right to abortion. The Second Amendment is very clear. A well-regulated militia, which is defined by the writers of the Constitution and the authors of this amendment as being the free citizens of these United States, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Yet he can't seem to see the clarity of that constitutional statement and then calls abortion a fundamental constitutional right. Well, here's the problem. The president, who as an Illinois state senator, was the only senator to vote against the legislation protecting children who are born alive after an abortion attempt. He voted against that. He didn't think that should be passed. And this is the same president that on April 13th, 2008, at the Democratic Compassion Forum at Messiah College, he was asked the question, do you personally believe that life begins at conception? Now, this is what the president said. Then Senator Obama said, this is something that I have not come to a firm resolution on. I think it's very hard to know what it means when life begins. Is it when a cell separates? Is it when the soul stirs? So I don't presume to know the answer to that question. What I know is that there is something extraordinarily powerful about potential life, and that has a moral weight to it that we take into consideration when we're having these debates. Now, did you catch that? He said that he did not have a clear concept or idea or direction as to when life begins. He didn't rule out that it starts at conception. He just doesn't know. Then on August 16th, 2008, when he was debating Senator John McCain at Rick Warren's church, he was asked again whether a human or a fetus deserves rights and when life begins. He said, whether you're looking at it from a theological perspective or a scientific perspective, answering that question with specificity is above my pay grade. Again, reinforcing that he does not know when life begins. Now, let me remind you that the president, in compromising our Second Amendment rights, says if there's even one life that can be saved, then we've got an obligation to try. Well, let me remind the president and anybody that's unsure on the issue when life begins. Psalm 139 very clearly says in verse number 13, starting there, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." What he is saying here is that we were made at the moment of conception, the DNA from our father and the DNA from our mother came together and created a unique DNA. That's the book in which all our members are written. That's the book in which our substance, though yet unperfect, meaning undeveloped, is described. At the moment of conception, according to the Bible, you are a distinct human life. Now, that may be above President Obama's pay grade to figure that out. He may not think that's theologically possible to understand, but it's very clear when you read the Word of God. And that's just one of several pages or passages that indicate the life of the unborn child. Apparently, President Obama has not read that, is not familiar with a theological principle to have said in 2008 it's not something that can be discussed in, from his perspective, from a theological perspective. And from the scientific perspective, I've got a biology degree. My wife's an RN. She's studied biology. It's established biology. It's a scientific fact that at the moment of conception, you have a unique living human organism, human being. It's distinct from the father. It's distinct from the mother. It's a unique individual, and it's genetically complete. It just is a different stage of development than we are today. And that stage of development begins at the moment of conception. And you have a unique human being. Now, scientifically, that's a fact. Theologically, that's a truth. Our president couldn't understand that. Our president is just not sure when life begins. And yet, the same logic that he uses for trouncing our Second Amendment rights. If there's even one life that can be saved, then we've got an obligation to try. He doesn't apply that to the very question of when human life begins. If that child may be a living human being, and if, as our president himself said more than once, he doesn't know whether that's true or not, shouldn't you err on the side of life? Shouldn't you err on the side of caution and say, you know what? If there's even one life that can be saved, then we've got an obligation to try. I would think if our president was consistent in his views, consistent in his statements, rather than operating from a political agenda that wants to promote abortion and restrict guns, if our president was really consistent in his views, he would be, precisely because he doesn't know when life begins, he would be the most pro-life president ever. If he really was convinced that, or really sure in his own mind that he can't tell whether or not life starts at conception, then by his own reasoning, he would say, as he said on the gun issue, let's do the right thing. Let's do the right thing for them and for this country that we love so much. Now, let me ask you a question. And of course, it's just a hypothetical, but let's say you're driving down the road and you saw a baby carriage sitting in the middle of the road. Now, would you drive down the road and think, wow, hey, I'd like to hit that baby carriage and see how it flies? Now, you think that's silly. There could be a child in there, but you don't know there's a child in there. So why don't you just assume there's no child in there and hit the baby carriage? Because you're erring on the side of caution. You're erring on the side of life. Now, here we've got a president that in the face of clear biblical teaching that life begins in the mother's womb at the moment of conception, despite clear scientific medical fact that life begins at conception in the mother's womb, he's not willing to err on the side of caution. Instead, he wants to do everything he can to promote abortion, to promote even partial birth abortion, and all these things, whether you're looking at it from a Christian point of view, a biblical point of view, or a scientific point of view, why doesn't the president use the same line that he used for trying to attack our Second Amendment rights and say, if there's even one life that can be saved, then we've got an obligation to try? This is the president that said quote, I am pro-choice. I believe in Roe versus Wade. I come to that conclusion not because I'm pro-abortion, but because ultimately I don't think women make these decisions casually. And he is saying he's very pro-choice. He's emphasizing that. And he said, when asked if he would ever nominate someone to the Supreme Court who disagrees with his position on Roe versus Wade, he said, quote, well, I think it's true that we shouldn't apply a strict litmus test to the most important thing in any, and the most important thing in any judge is their capacity to provide fairness and justice to the American people. And that is true. This is going to be, I think, one of the most consequential decisions of the next president. I think it's very unlikely that one of us will be making at least one and more appointments, or more than one appointments, and that Roe versus Wade probably hangs in the balance. I will look for those judges who have an outstanding judicial record, who have the intellect and hopefully have a sense of what real world folks are going through. Translation, I'll only nominate judges that are pro-abortion. The same president that said even if there's one life that can be saved, we've got an obligation to try. The same president that said the most fundamental set of rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Why doesn't he apply his reasoning on guns, which account for a very tiny fraction, Do you know that unintentional deaths from, well, I'm out of time. I'm sorry. But stick with us. Join us again next week. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220 The Word. The following program has been sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, and/or representations may not have necessarily reflected those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Community.